The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. When I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with the belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. An angel appears at a faculty meeting and tells the dean that he has come to reward him for his years of devoted service. He was asked to choose one of three blessings, either infinite wealth, infinite fame, or infinite wisdom. Without hesitation, the dean asks for infinite wisdom. "You got it," says the angel, and disappears. All heads turn toward the dean, who sits glowing in the aura of wisdom. Finally, one of his colleagues whispers, "Say something." The dean looks at them and says, "I should have taken the money." Wisdom is the sense of being smart or shrewd, as we see in today's parable of the dishonest servant. Is not an end in itself. One can be smart and use one's smartness to do mean things. Many con artists are smart people who use their smartness to create unhappiness in the world. Today's parable challenges us to be smart in the pursuit of the kingdom of God, just as godless people are smart in their pursuit of selfish goals and ambitions. Jesus uses the example of the smart manager in his master's business to teach us the need to be smart in the Lord's service. We are challenged to imitate the manager's shrewdness, not his dishonesty. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Why did the master, who had made up his mind to fire the manager, now commend him? Probably the manager had been running the master's business in a drab, routine, and lifeless manner, devoid of creativity and imagination. As a result, the business was failing. So the master decides it is time to fire him. Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. The manager is facing a real danger of being dismissed from service. He knows the seriousness of the situation. He is not kidding himself. He knows exactly how helpless he would be out there in the world. He says to himself, "What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." He scratches his head and comes up with this ingenious plan to safeguard his future. The master praises him because if the manager had been using such smart thinking in the daily running of the business, he would have made a much more successful manager rather than a failure. The parable challenges us all to be smart managers. Me, a manager, you say? Yes, we are all called to be managers. God has entrusted the whole of his creation into our hands as his managers. Our business follows as followers of Christ, non-ordained as well as ordained believers, is to help bring about the kingdom of God starting from our own selves. We have all been given the necessary resources to do this. We have been equipped with the truth of faith. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, and we have been given time. Sooner or later, we shall all be called upon to render an account of how we have invested and managed these resources. Events in our world show that we live in difficult and precarious times. Like the manager in the parable, the manager faced squarely the truth of his helplessness and vulnerability and did something about it. We do not have to wait, like the dishonest servant, for a last-minute display of smartness to fix our eternal concerns. The time to be smart is now. The smart manager used what he could to keep to get what he needed so badly, friendship with his business associates. We should likewise invest all of our temporal and spiritual resources to gain the only thing that matters in the end, the kingdom of God. There was a wealthy landowner who lived in the Scottish Highlands. He was more than just rich with his world's goods and had a stately mansion overlooking a beautiful valley. But there was a basic emptiness in his life. He had no religious belief. He lived alone, possessed by his possessions. In the gate lodge at the entrance to his estate lived John, his farm manager. John was a man of simple faith and deep religious commitment. With his family, he was a regular churchgoer. The Lord's presence was a reality in his home, and often at night when John opened the gate to admit his employer, the landowner noticed John's family on their knees in prayer. One morning, the landowner was looking out on the valley. As he gazed on the beautiful scene, he was saying to himself, "It is all mine," when he heard the doorbell ringing. Going down, he found John on the doorstep. "What's the matter, John?" he asked. John looked embarrassed. He replied, "Sir, could I have a word with you?" He was invited in onto plush carpet, a striking contrast between their lifestyles. "Sir," said John hesitantly, "last night I had a dream, and in it the Lord told me that the richest man in the valley would die tonight at midnight. I felt I should tell you. The dream was very real, vivid, sir. I just had to come to you, as I felt you should know." The landowner dismissed him, but John's words kept bothering him, so much so that at noon he took his own car and went to the local doctor for a complete checkup. The doctor examined him, pronounced him fit as a fiddle, and said he'd give him another 20 years. The landowner was relieved, but a lingering doubt caused him to invite the doctor around for dinner and a few drinks that evening. They enjoyed the meal together, and shortly after 11:30, the doctor got up to leave, but the landowner prevailed on him to remain on for a few nightcaps. Eventually, when the midnight passed, he was still in the land of the living. He saw the doctor to the door and then went up the stairs muttering, "Silly old John, upset my whole day, him and his dreams." No sooner was he in bed when he heard the doorbell ringing. It was 12:30. Going down, he found a grief-stricken girl at the door, whom he recognized instantly as John's teenage daughter. "Sir," she said, looking at him through her tears, "Mom sent me to tell you that Daddy died at midnight." The landowner froze, and it was suddenly made clear to him who was the richest man in the valley. I believe that this classic story is relevant to Jesus' words in today's gospel. You cannot be the slave of two masters. A Mormon acquaintance once pushed Mark Twain into an argument on the issue of polygamy. After long, tedious expositions justifying the practice, the Mormon demanded that Twain cite any passage of Scripture expressly forbidding having two wives. "Nothing easier," Twain replied. "No man can have two masters." We cannot serve God and false gods at the same time. Jesus is asking us to give without counting the cost. It doesn't take much to distract us from the meaning of life. We were created to know, love, and serve God. Many people say that in their early lives they placed a lot of emphasis on building up their career, but later in life they become aware of the values and importance of a friendship with God. There is a great satisfaction for a time in building up our own kingdom until that doesn't satisfy anymore, and then we realize that what satisfies us is building up the kingdom of God. In other words, the attractions of life can draw us away from living as sons and daughters of God. So in this Mass, we pray for the strength to know, love, and serve God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because no one could be the slave of two masters, we cannot serve both God and money.